You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you're going to find the resources and training that you need to get started. It's resources, okay?
Resources.
As well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. So go to NewChurches.com to learn more about Plus membership. And in fact, if you haven't taken a look at our courses as well, we do have two there, Essential Church Planting and Missional Church Multiplication. So take a gander at them and also, become a member and you'll be able to download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free.
Gander, is that a Canadian term?
Well, isn't there a gear shop, Gander Mountain?
There's Gander Sports? Mountain.
Yeah,
you can get like
guns
and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff.
And stuff.
Guns and stuff.
They don't have those in Canada, yeah. Do they?
All right, we're going to do another giveaway.
All right, what are we giving away this time?
Let's give away Jeff Vanderselt's new book, Saturate.
That's a good book.
Yeah, we are partnering actually with Soma. We are one of their sponsors for their residency program, for their church planting development program called Soma Sending. So they've blessed us with some books. So we are going to bless you, Pastor P101214.
Wow. Pastor P, what was that?
I don't know. Anyways, Pastor P101214, this is for you. This is your rating and review that you left us. 5 stars. The title is Great Resource, but his name is Pastor P101214.
Is that a zip code, you think?
No, it's too long to be a zip code.
Pastor P?
Pastor P. 101. That's his high school combination lock.
You think so? It could be.
All right. One of the best things for anyone, and this is what he said, okay? One of the best things for anyone in any part of church leadership is resources. And he says it. I mean, he even just says resources.
But do you have a tape of this? I mean, are we going to get to hear this guy? Or yeah. Do you think?
No. He spelt it out, right? He spelt it out
how
as resources.
How did he spell resources? Z's in there?
Yeah, that's how he spelled. Being able to hear new ideas or any way to spark your own imagination. Being a part of the plant myself, just hearing the practical ideas can start a whole new part of your own self. Great resource, highly recommended. Do ministry together! Exclamation mark. So thank you, Pastor P101214. Pastor P101214.
Thanks, Pastor P.
All right. Well, just send us an email, daniel@newchurches.com or DM me on Twitter. I mean, that took way too long, but anyway, we're trying to be generous. Let's listen to this question from Chris Moore.
Hey guys, my name is Chris Moore. I'm a bivocational church planter in Sumter, South Carolina. In October 2014, two families met with the vision of planting a church in a town filled with churches, because we know there are those who have been hurt by the church, mainly people inside of the church, and so there's healing that needs to take place. And so for the past year, Cornerstone Baptist Church has been trying to love and encourage those that God places in our path. One of the questions I have for you is, in a day and time where everything is kind of trending towards small groups, what would you say to a group like Cornerstone that has tried small groups? Just because the houses of those people that we're trying to minister to, they aren't very large. We have kids. And small groups just did not seem to work very well in that environment. And so what would you say to that? What other alternatives are there? Or what are some things that maybe we haven't tried that we could try?
All right. Well, I don't know if Chris Moore realizes this, but I'm a big fan for something larger than small groups.
And I'm a big fan of small groups.
Yeah. So why don't you go first?
Well, I would say, I've seen small groups work in apartments in D.C. Mm-hmm. So, and that is even with kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the living area there, obviously, it's you know, nothing like South Korea, but people do not have large spaces the more densely populated you get closer and closer into the city. So you have to find things. Now, there are opportunities there that may not be available at Sumter, and that is like, you know, the community room in apartment buildings. But
yeah.
In a lot of subdivisions elsewhere and in the South, you know, you'll have a clubhouse.
Yeah.
So in some cases, actually, we would do it in a clubhouse. And that sounds crazy because you're like, oh, that's $50 a week. Well, if you really start to price out how much space costs in your church, if you were going to have educational space, $50 a weekend ain't that bad. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people are more than happy to pony up, you know, $5-$10 a family for things like child care or otherwise. I mean, my small group had a Christmas party on, I don't know, sometime this weekend. And that's what we do. I mean, it's like, hey, everybody, every family throws in $5 and, you know, there's two 15, 16-year-old kids that are there, teenagers, shouldn't say kids. They're watching, you know, all of our kids. And that's the way we kind of make it work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you're standing or people are sitting on the floor or whatever. And it's just, you know, as you build community, it's just that becomes part of the norm. I think it can be difficult for some people who are more used to a traditional church setting, and like they may Sunday want, school model. Yeah, maybe they want Sunday school. I think the other thing that you have here that's a big deal is, what is a small group?
Yeah.
Because I talked to one church and it's basically affinity groups. It's like puppies for Jesus. We all have puppies and we get together and let our dogs run around. I mean, like, that's not a small group. That's puppies for Jesus. That's an affinity group. For me, sorry if I have offended anyone who has a puppy, or you have affinity groups at your church, and you know, it's like, we have NASCAR, we all love NASCAR, and we know you may pray and then you eat nachos and hang out. That's not a small group.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
But that's NASCAR group. That's not, you know.
Yeah.
That's not a small group. And so I would say the other antithesis to that is some people will have a traditional Sunday school model and they'll call that a small group. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we're all sitting around the edge of the room in metal chairs and we're walking through the same thing and there's a teacher up front.
Yeah.
And we do that. There is absolutely, positively nothing wrong with that at all. It's a systematic way to do it. Small group, however, if you look at the traditional view of it, it is typically outside the church. It's typically in a home of various and sundry sizes.
Mm-hmm. Like and 8 to 12 people.
Yeah, 8 to 12 mm-hmm. people in a group. You know, usually families involved, usually a day of the week.
Mm-hmm. There's Bible study, prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, community.
Care, yeah, community. Care. Mm-hmm. You're usually serving. I mean, you know, in a lot of cases, they'll serve together once a month or have a social once a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's like, we'll do a social this month, we do a serving next month, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what small groups do is it really helps people to live out their faith in Christ where they live, work, and play, you know, in their community. You don't want people to have to commute to community.
Yeah.
If you're at a really large church or a regional draw, it's really hard to make, to have an effective Sunday school model because everybody lives so far away from each other. So where, you know, the churches I grew up in, Sunday school was great. And as I described it, it worked perfectly because when somebody had a need or somebody was sick or somebody needed food or whatever it was, somebody had tobacco on the ground and we had to house it that night.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that kicked into play. Well, you can't do that if you live, you know, across town. You just can't do it that easily. So that's where I think the small group model really works. So I don't know how big Sumter is, but, you know, I would say, hey, keep giving small groups a try.
Mm-hmm.
And, even if it's just you try them seasonally, like you say, hey, we're going to have a 6-week group. Because most people can commit to a short-term, you know, type of deal where, hey, we're going to meet just in the summers. We're going to do groups in the summers or, you know, as part of our new strategic series in January with our vision, we're going to, you know, meet for 8 weeks around this, our values or whatever it is. I mean, I think that's a big piece.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing is there's so many different ways to do groups. whether it be small groups or my preference being more of mid-sized groups, 20 to 50 people, you know, or there's missional communities, accountability groups, you know, more of the 1 to 2 person DNA type of groups, Neil Cole, LTG groups. I mean, there's so many different ways.
Triads,
cell groups, life groups. You know, there's so many different ways to do that. But the big thing is let's take a step back and figure out why. Right. And the big reason is people need to be in community. Right. Groups. One of the benefits of groups is not only you're getting people to dig into the scriptures, to study, to pray, but they're finding community. They're able to be on mission with one another. So you asked, Chris, why you said that small groups that you tried it, but it didn't work really well. And I wouldn't necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater to say, hey, it didn't work. We're not going to do small groups anymore, but rather to take a step back and ask, why did it not work? Is it possibly maybe the assumptions or the expectations of your congregation? Maybe they all expected Sunday school and there wasn't enough of a communication saying, hey, we're in a portable location. We don't have room for Sunday school, so we're going to do small groups. Obviously, that's going to fail because you haven't managed people's expectations correctly, because they're thinking, okay, it's just going to be Sunday school in homes, but it's not. I mean, that's not what it is. That's not the benefit of it. So, I mean, you need to take a step back. I mean, John Cotter's Leading Change is a fantastic book. And even if you're a church plant, right? I mean, to think about transition, to think about creating a sense of urgency, you know, casting vision, doing all of these things, there is a step and a sequence to doing that. So I would encourage you to pick up that book to begin analyzing why small groups didn't work, because they do work, but it's how you implement it, right? It really is.
Yeah, and I would just say if you're convinced that they'll work, if you've been a part of something in the past that had small groups,
good point,
then I would just say, man, you lead out in that, mm-hmm. and you just, you know, let the people do what they want. And that's kind of weird for me to say, but let them do what they want for now and have their traditional Sunday school model or whatever it is that the Back to Egypt Club wants to do. Let them do it.
Study Revelation.
Yeah, if they want to study numerology, yeah. Let them do it. But what you do is you get a core group of people,
yeah.
that has a positive attitude, mm-hmm. about the potential of small groups.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they've even done it before. Even if just they're optimistic.
Yeah.
In good. Every organization, Napoleon had a rule of thirds in his army. Mm. He would say, there's a third that is always ready for change. If I want to go somewhere or, you know, we want to take, I don't know, the Prussian Empire, like they're ready for it. They're up and ready.
Yeah.
There's a third that is negative and they're not going to go matter what. They like it the way it is. They're stuck and they don't want to move. And then there's a third waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he says most of the time people make the mistake of focusing on the opposition, mm-hmm. focusing on the people who don't want to change, and that's not what to do. You don't want to marginalize them, still keep a line of communication open with them, listen to them, but then you focus your time, effort, and energy really on the people who are ready to make the change.
Yeah, and preach from that. I mean, yeah. Share stories of how totally. You're benefiting if you have, from it.
If, so basically, if you're leading a group, I would say focus on the people who are open to change or positive about change in general. Bring them in and then just work it into your sermons. The yeah. more you talk about your group or you give an example – the better off you're going to be, because that's ultimately what's going to, you know, help shape the culture there.
Yeah, right on. Well, thank you again for listening to today's episode. Just like we did today, occasionally we give away, we do giveaways. Did we even say what we were going to give to Pastor P101, 214?
I don't know.
New Church's Moleskin notebook and a pen. Maybe in one of the upcoming episodes, we'll give away one of our Bluetooth speakers. So get your review and rating in on iTunes. And yeah, if you have any questions.
For ministry grid, too.
We should.
We'll give him like one of the emergency charger thingies.
Right on. We'll do So a Bluetooth speaker and an emergency? No, let's split it up.
Let's split it up.
Anyways, tune in, keep on listening, get your review in, and we will send you some good swag. And also, send a question in. We love your questions. That's what we build the podcast around. So no question is stupid.
Yeah.
Just
and no
send
questions,
them in.
There's no podcast.
So. Yeah, exactly. And so far, we've actually been answering every single one of the questions. We don't ignore questions, so send them in. I mean, we might ignore yours if it's really bad, but it's probably going to be okay. So send it in at newchurches.com. Just click on the sidebar that says send voicemail, and we will catch you next time.